This is Fred Dodsworth. It is April 8th. This is the National Finance Committee. I am the chair. We have achieved quorum. We're going to call roll, and it is currently 5:37.
Okay. So Christine Avalos, Tom Chase.
Present.
Tom, here I see him.
Lyndon Foley. Steve Kukera. Kukera. Okay. Steve?
He said Kukula, so I assume that.
I'm here. I'm
sure. Okay, yeah. Got it. Apple, Martin?
Here.
Okay, my reason?
I'm here.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Dennis Williams?
Here.
Michael Woodson?
I'm here.
Fred Dodsworth?
I'm here.
Susan Young?
Here.
And Stephanie? So I think I see you there.
Here.
Okay. So we have two people missing, but we have a quorum.
Okay. We had an agenda, but I think it was a little more important that we deal with the other issues. So I'm going to suggest that we start with Susan Young, who is going to explain how the National Finance Committee works under the new, new confirmed settlement of the lawsuit.
Okay. April 3rd, the board, the national board approved settlement that has been filed with the court, and central to that settlement are amended bylaws, and they are now the law of the land. They've been posted on Pacifica.org. There's a transition period where all 22 national board members will continue to serve through 2026, when an election will be held under the new bylaw provisions, and directors will be seated in 2027. Also, the current local station boards, 24 members each, will continue to serve during this transition period, and they will be subject to the new election in 2026 to be seated in 2027. The changes are significant. The local station boards will no longer be recognized as delegates, so they do not serve on national committees, and the officers, board chair, vice chair, and secretary will continue to serve. The treasurer position goes away, and there are two new positions that will be elected to. One is membership and fundraising coordinator, and the other is community outreach coordinator. I would just like to say that a motion I would like to bring tonight is for the Finance Committee to invite the 2025 treasurers from each of the five stations to continue to serve on the National Finance Committee as resource persons, but non-voting. And I've got Lyndon on the line. So we're in the position of working out exactly what this transition means. And that'll be, there'll be discussions at every local station board about what it means.
You want to bring Lyndon in?
Yeah, I've got to send him the.
Okay.
Link.
Are you done with your report?
Yes.
Are there any questions? Dennis, I see your hand up. Anyone else?
I just have a quick question about what is the meaning, if any, of what happened in court today?
The meaning of what happened in court is that the settlement was filed. The people who were recognized as being in court were the parties to the settlement. So the attorney for Pacifica and the attorney for New Day Pacifica. Others were, including myself, you know, were there on the Zoom and available to speak to issues, and we were told that we did not have standing. So none of us were called on, no facts were provided, and mm-hmm. so the settlement's been filed.
What's the July 3rd thing?
July 3rd is when the court will actually reply about the settlement.
What's the difference in the filing and the replying? I just don't understand what that step is.
Say I fully understand either. I'm not an attorney. And the court has recognized the filing. There's certain paperwork that needs to continue. There is a challenge that's been brought forward, but the clerk made it clear that that challenge is not yet recognized by the court.
Can I speak a little bit to that challenge?
I'm
not going to speak to the specifics of the challenge.
I would rather not, because I don't know that I will frame it accurately.
I'm not asking. I'm talking about a mediation that I witnessed recently regarding the Vernell settlement.
Okay, so I would rather not get into that. The parties all participated in the mediation and agreed.
Yes.
And the board adopted the settlement that came out of the mediation. And I would just say it was very clear that this court wants to see mediations and settlements. What they were encouraging the parties for all of the matters coming before them was reach agreement and get back to us when you've reached agreement.
Okay, Mr. Sagerton. You're muted.
Thank you, Chair. without getting too deep into it, I just want to make it clear that, of course, not all of us agree with this settlement, and many of us do not recognize the ability of the PNB by a so-called ratification to adopt sweeping new bylaws that, in a way that's contrary to the then existing, I would say still existing, bylaws. So just making the point that that's a contended position. And of course, I'll just say very briefly, without asking to have a vote on it or anything else, but it's a continuing breach for the chair of the board to.
Okay, we're done with this. We're done with this. You are out of order. I will put you in the waiting room. We are not going to go through this again, James.
Free speech, Fred. Free Speech Network.
Mr. Martin, it is your turn to speak. You're muted, Paul.
And on mute. Okay. Yes, I see this, and I think this is pretty bad stuff. From what I can see, there was just a bunch of self-dealing going on. The New Day et al.
Can I ask what this has to do with the National Finance Committee?
Well, what does any of this have to do with what was just said?
I asked the chair to explain how the new bylaws would affect the National Finance Committee.
It's going to affect the National Finance Committee by, for one thing, taking out the treasurers who might know a thing or two locally.
Unfortunately, that wasn't the case, was it?
Yes, it was.
Well, you
don't know.
You just made recently in our meeting that you could not.
Point of order, Chair. Point of order.
Yes.
Point of order.
Point.
Could you please let the person who has the floor speak without interrupting him after he gets a phrase out of his mouth?
Let him finish the sentence.
If I may continue.
You're going to either way.
All right. Yes. You say that we didn't. We sure as hell did. You just got here. You haven't seen what's been happening over the years and how the treasurers have saved a whole lot of rather idiotic things from happening by directors who think they know it all. So Yeah, I think these bylaws are terrible, and it was, and the way it was done does not smell very good. So that's what I have to say about it.
Okay, Susan, do you have? I see your hands up.
Yeah, what I would just like, when we get to the agenda, which we haven't read and moved as yet, I would like to put forward a motion inviting the treasurers to continue to serve on the National Finance Committee as resource persons, though non-voting, because I agree that there is a lot of historic knowledge among the treasurers, and I would like for us to be able to have them continue to participate.
Excellent. I don't see any other hands up, so I think we're done with that particular issue. We're now going to go to the executive director's report.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
The agenda.
Oh, we need to appoint the agenda. Thank you for reminding me. Has everybody seen the minutes, by the way? They were sent out some time ago. Anybody object to approving the minutes as they were sent out?
Mr. Chair, can we start with approving the agenda?
Okay, I have to pull up the agenda. Okay, we've got 5 minutes to approve the agenda. The agenda has been sent out to you, everyone as well. Pretty much it's simple. It says set the meeting dates for 2025, approve the minutes. ED report, request ED to look into KPFK, schedule that ED anticipates for unit budgets, proposal regarding timely financial reporting, see appendix, discuss the agenda items for future sessions, 30 minutes, adjourn, time certain at 10:15.
I move approval of the agenda.
Is there any objection to
approval? Wait a second.
What's that?
You don't need a second.
I couldn't hear what he said.
He said you don't need a second. Committee.
Oh, doesn't need a second. Thank you. If there's no objection, the agenda's been approved. Okay, now we go to the ED report. Oh, actually, no. With the ED report, we're going to set the NFT meeting dates for 2025, which I think we actually did last week. But
And Mr. Chair,
yes.
We need to approve the minutes. I move approval of the minutes.
I thought we did. Okay.
We hadn't done the agenda first.
I'm really tired. I've been working really hard. My apologies. I'm not very focused right now. I have been doing a lot of heavy construction. So let us approve the minutes, please.
I moved approval of the minutes.
Any objection to the
minutes? Our poll for stat.
Okay. Our poll, Mr. Paul, our poll.
Our poll. That's me. Okay. There are a number of corrections I'm offering. One, it starts out NFC public minutes. I think it should say, spell it out, National Finance Committee. Minutes are going to be looked at by people in the future and, you know, too much, just pieces of alphabet won't make a lot of sense to them and it makes it more difficult. Also, at some point, who knows, there could be a lawsuit or something and somebody may need to look through all this. Second, the meeting is, it says the meeting started at 8:30. It started at 8:35. And it says roll call and it lists one person absent. It should say that a quorum was present, that the chair and secretary were present. And I think it would be good to say who actually did attend that meeting. Then we get to approval of agenda. There was a motion to approve the agenda and who made that motion should be in the minutes. I'll cite R&R Roberts 12, 48.4, and 48.51. If people want me to read that, I will. Then we have the amendment to the original motion for the minutes. And it says still on the agenda. And it says, Martin, fixed date from 2024 to 2025, which isn't accurate. The original agenda had said approved minutes for February 24th, 2025. It was the day of the month that I corrected, not the year. Under approved minute, I can get through this fast. Under approved minutes, The name of the maker of the motion should be entered in the minutes, Roberts 4851. Then we have down here a list from the executive director's report, and is one thing AFFL, and I'm wondering if that's supposed to be the Pacifica Affiliates Network. And again, for units that aren't call letters, it would probably be good to spell that out, but if I don't see how AFFL is PAN, which is what it's been getting called for all this time. And then we have a motion to put the executive director on the mailing list, and it just says Martin put ED on mailing list. It was a main motion, and it was approved by the committee. It should show that. And the minutes are supposed to show all of the motions and what happens with them. Then we get to later on, it says concept is good, but it's aspirational. Roberts 48-2, content of the minutes. In an ordinary society, the minutes should contain only a record of what was done at the meeting and not what was said by the members. And then it says adjourn 9:45 p.m. Should put 9:45 p.m. ET because we got four different time zones we're dealing with. Those are my corrections.
May I ask you a question, sir?
Why not?
When did you notice there are all these errors in the minutes?
I noticed them this afternoon when we got them.
It would have been minutes. Very helpful if you had noted that and sent those back to Aki, our secretary.
Well, so I'll send them on now.
Thank
but
you.
The
I
thing
appreciate
is,
that very
it
much.
It only came in just around 1 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern. And, yeah, I didn't have a lot of time. I'm working on a written treasurer's report for early in the morning. So yes, I spent my time doing that.
Thanks, Apple.
I'm sorry, Aki, I couldn't hear what you said.
I said, thanks, Apple.
Good. Any other comments on the minutes? Great. Any objection to approving the minutes with the corrections noted by our Paul? Hearing no objections, I move the agenda, and we now go to the executive director's report, as I recall.
Thank you. One of the things it's nice to share is that we have all of our stations and the affiliate network division all paying central services right now. So the KPFK and WBAI are paying a small percentage of central services, but it's we've worked out what that percentage is, and so we are very happy for their success in doing that. We have also in the month general manager and directors meeting that we have as a staff, I shared with all of them the dates that we talked about at the last National Finance Committee meeting to review their budgets to date. So everybody was very pleased that there is a date on the calendar and that there is ample time for everyone to prepare. So I have let them know that we will be meeting with them prior, myself and Markeisha, and anyone else at the station that is dealing with the finances for that station or that division, to go through to date where we are and then make the notes, send out the budgets for people to review, the budgets to date for people to review on this committee at least 1 week prior. So I know that we had sent the date is April 22nd for KPFK, and I'm sure we can probably discuss this in other new business. I don't know if that wants to be pushed back to another date since we want to kind of review their budget in general, but I'm sure we can discuss that with new business. We are posting, we're posting the general manager positions on a rolling basis. And as we said, we have all interim general managers at all of the stations. And so what we are doing in order to streamline the application process and for me to be able to effectively schedule interviews with everyone, we're putting the GM searches on, as I said, a rolling basis. The KPFT job posting was posted first. It's them keeping the postings up for 45 days. They had a submission deadline of April 15th. We've had approximately 9 people apply for the KPFT position. We've had 2 people apply for WPFW, 2 for WBAI, 1 for KPFK, and 1 just applied in general to a general manager position and didn't have a station in particular that they were focused on. We will be starting, as I said, even though we've had the job postings general, the original posting had all 5 posts, had all 5 positions scheduled in 1 time. But then as we said, to do it on a rolling basis, I put a date on it. So I'll be officially, even though the posting has been out there already, but officially releasing with the 45-day deadline, the WPFW and KPFK job posting on April 16th. And then the WBAI and KPFA posting on May 30th. So we will keep people apprised as to how that process is going. And as I said, we'll be creating interview panels that will involve volunteers, will involve staff, will involve coworkers, and will involve peers as well. So the job posting can be found at pacifica.org, and any interested individuals can send their resume and cover letter to hr@pacifica.org. We're moving forward nicely with the Pacifica Archives and Legacy Project. We're still going through the cataloging and looking through every single box and shipping packages out for digitization. We have there were 783 boxes that were shipped out that were holding approximately 20,000 tapes and CDs that were processed and shipped for digitization. And we have fortunately been able to, thanks to the cleanup and the consolidation and organization of our storage facilities, we've been able to successfully close 3 of our storage sites. Last week we had 2, and I was just informed today that we closed yet 1 more, which is great because that means we're organizing, consolidating, and just making everything much cleaner. And if anybody, I'll go ahead and just move into questions if people want, because I don't really have anything else major to report on.
At one point, we'd sent out a calendar that was based upon what you'd said in the last meeting as to which dates. Are those still all?
Yes, I can go through those again. We're going to review, and again, we set down that we were going to review the KPFK budget on April 22nd, but we can discuss that as we move on, whether we still want that date or whether we want to switch it maybe possibly with another station or do 2 in 1 time. But the tentative dates that we had chosen last meeting was April 22nd for KPFK, May 13th for WPFW, May 27th, for WBAI, June 10th for KPFT, June 24th for the Pacifica Affiliate Network, July 8th for KPFA, July 22nd for the Pacifica National Office and the Pacifica Radio Archives, with August 12th and August 26th as the start of the presentations for budgets for fiscal year 25, which our fiscal year begins October 1.
Right. And another simple question. How do you spell Markeisha?
Markisha.
And what is her title?
National Business Manager.
Thank you very much. I think there's another hand up. Steve, you had a question?
Yeah, I might fall off. I'm having trouble with this stream. That's why I had to kill my audio. I guess we're not going to get consolidated. We're not going to get the first quarter.
Steve, we're having a real hard time hearing you.
I was worried about that. I'm having trouble with the stream. We're not going to get our first quarter consolidated.
You can hear him now.
I was hoping that we would have the first updated consolidated financials by today, but obviously we do not. So I apologize for that.
Any expectation of when we will?
No, I think it might be helpful, as I said, to try to get Markeisha on the phone calls. She has already a standing activity every Tuesday evening with family. And so she would have to change some of those schedules around. So I have to give her ample time to be able to rearrange already pre-existing commitments.
Great. My view says that Michael, go ahead, Steve.
I also wanted to know how we're going to pay for these general manager positions. They're not in the budget. That was an outstanding question at the last meeting. I'm not sure what the purpose of budgets are when we just do things. So I'm very frustrated.
The general manager positions are paid positions, and they have been present in every budget except KPFT. And we did review the KPFT budget because the general manager positions are all paid positions at the other stations. And so, as I said, they have been in the budgets. The KPFT budget, we have reviewed with their local finance committee station board and have had columns on how to review it with paid position, without a paid position. And we're still moving forward with another meeting regarding the KPFT budget that will discuss, is this a paid position? Is this not a paid position? I believe we actually have a meeting tomorrow night where we'll be going over that again.
Mr. Segerton, your hand's up. Would you unmute?
Thank you, Chair. Stephanie, at the last PMB meeting, I asked the question about the $220,000 plus bequest to WBAI and where we would find it or how it was accounted. You said you would bring, I don't want to call it a report, but you would bring information about that to this meeting. Do we have that now?
There are funds that were in the consolidated financial that appeared in April of the consolidated financials for WBAI. One of the things that I need to request is to get a copy of the bequest because we have accrual, and I don't have a copy of that, but because we have accrual accounting, revenue is posted, not when the payment is received, but the income is reported when we're told about it. So if we received any sort of documentation regarding that bequest months earlier or the year earlier that it would be coming in, it could have been posted during that time. But we do have an increase in revenue that showed up in April of 2024 on the consolidated financials. And then as far as the payments in July 19th of 2024, $133,637 was paid to Durst for the past due tower payments. And again, because we have accrued accounting, expenses are recorded when they are incurred, not when they are paid. So if you go down to the consolidated financials and look at the tower rent payments, you will see that there's payments that have been accrued in those consolidated financials.
As I recall, you actually went through this at our last meeting.
Not in that much detail. And I do, you know, and James owed James a greater detailed explanation than what had been shared prior.
May I follow up, Fred?
Yes.
I just want to say, Stephanie, that sounds a little vague, like it's going to be difficult to nail down exactly how this money was accounted for. I'm not really questioning how it was spent, because we had a lot of big bills and they were taken care of at that time. So I'm assuming that's where the bulk of the money went. But what I'm trying to focus in on is, you know, how is it credited to WBAI's revenue and how was it, recognized in the, deficit? You know, was it removed? Did it cause the deficit to be smaller or larger? That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, it would. I mean, it's revenue. It's definitely revenue for WBAI. When a bequest goes to any station, it is revenue for that station. It is not credited as revenue to any place else. In April of 2024, there was a revenue of $134,000. I don't know. I haven't seen the paperwork on the bequest. Rarely do I see that, unfortunately. So as soon as I can get the paperwork regarding that bequest, if we were told we were getting it with accrued accounting, it could have been shown as revenue during that prior year with accrual accounting. Again, not when the cash is received, but when we're told we're getting that received, we're getting that sent to us.
Well, it came in June of 2024, and I think it was the prior manager left the station a week earlier, and he had no knowledge of it at that time. So I think it would be right around that period. It must have happened very quickly, unless some mail was going to different sources, different places rather. But anyway, we'll follow up on it.
We'll keep digging into it. And it might be easier, James, if just you and I and Markeisha just get on a phone call together and sure. Bob, and we just kind of go back through, you know, rather than just the 2 years that are shown up in the consolidateds, we go back, we try to see if we can find the bequest paperwork.
Sure. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Woodson, you're recognized.
All right. Thank you. Two questions, Stephanie. If you would first, what are we thinking about the, central services as, there's a catch up or people are in arrears, or are we worried about that much?
Not really. I mean, it's, we could go in circles for hours, for days, for decades, it appears sometimes in the Pacifica world, to talk about how much money each station owes another station or owes the national office, or we borrowed this or they gave that, or they charge, you know, that's just kind of this spiral rabbit hole that we can keep going down. Once we close the books are closed. It would be great to be able to figure out how much is owed by whom, when, where, but it's almost an impossibility. So I try to focus on the current year that we're in. This is the amount of money that each station should be paying, and encourage them and thank them for making those payments. You know, I wish that there was more than just, we can look at the audits often go through with great detail how much we had to write off as a loss. And so that is listed in our audited financial statements as we read the reports. But to go back and try to get money that's owed is very, very difficult. We do try to encourage payback of some of the expenses, some of the health insurance expenses that we've incurred from some of the stations that we've had to cover their health insurance costs. But it's not like we're just thankful when we get the money that we're getting for central services, and we're not going to say, you know, thank you for paying that. We're going to credit this toward what you owed us 3 years ago.
All right. Yeah. A good start anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I try to just encourage some goodwill, good job. Yay. Attaboys. You're making an effort. We're doing good with our fundraising. You're adding other elements to your fundraising. People are holding events. They're holding movie screenings. I know KPFT has been given a goal, their volunteers, to raise $10,000. I mean, we're moving in a direction of working as a group and a team. Even with our national programming, we had wonderful national, not all the stations covered it, but we had wonderful coverage, of the April 5th hands-off marches and protests that we had. Well over 20 affiliate stations that were all reporting live. They gave all that information to WBAI. They were able to put together overnight a beautiful program over We Decide that covered how this was being put out, you know, how these protests looked like all across the country. WPFW did a live feed for 3 hours with what was happening in Washington, D.C. So we're building up this great goodwill of stations starting to work together, the affiliates feeling like they are part of the Pacifica Foundation. And so I don't really want to then throw a wrench into that by saying, good job, guys. And oh, by the way, you owe us $2 million from 5 years ago. Pay up. That's just not me. And if that's bad business, that's bad business. But I really just don't want to stir up that ill will.
Good, thanks. And secondly, I wonder how you would advise us. I feel like the board hires you and, you know, we let you run the ship. How would you have us answer local members about finance accountability now that there's no longer a finance committee locally?
Well, I still want, and I talked to the general managers about that this morning, asking the general managers, you know, they appreciate the support of volunteers with the finances and having an extra set of eyes. And there's been some treasurers with the, on this National Finance Committee that have been extremely important and vital as we start working on the budgets and have sat in Zoom meetings with me for hours with the general managers or the business managers putting together budgets. So I am not, I am hoping that we do not push aside any of the volunteers that have that financial expertise that can help us. So, you know, as we move forward, we will be reaching out as we go over the budgets to work with people that are familiar with how the station is running, familiar with the finances and can offer advice. I mean, that's what you want with volunteers, and particularly volunteers that sit on a board. You want them to have influence, affluence, and knowledge, and bringing a skill set that we just don't have, and being able to look at something with a new set of eyes. So this isn't the end all. We're just trying to streamline the process that, you know, when a budget is made, and it doesn't have to go through all these processes to try to get approved and revised and questions. And then before you know it, you know, we're completely off the timeline to approve the budgets. But I really do hope that when we reach out to start working on the budgets that we're going to be reviewing over the next few months, and that as we start working on the budgets for the upcoming year, that we do have people that are open and willing to be able to sit down and, you know, work with the staff and work with me. And again, if that's sitting on a Zoom for 2 or 3 hours to go over the budget line by line, we appreciate that. And we hope that happens.
Excellent. Wait, any more questions, Michael?
No, that's it.
All right. Susan?
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, I appreciate that your orientation is not to go back and figure out over the last 10 years who has owed whom what. I do think that there is a more immediate borrowing, if you will, where the KPFK, the proceeds of the KPFK building sale had to be devoted to certain purposes that we'd hope they would not, and that has seriously reduced the resources available for KPFK. So I want to just keep that in mind, that I think there's restoration that should be a priority. So that's one thing. The second thing is, I know that KPFK would like to have more time before before the committee. And a suggestion that I have is maybe the next meeting, I guess that's April 24th, or whenever it is that perhaps we invite Markeisha. And we take that opportunity to look at the quarterly financials, because that's a really high priority. We have not been able to keep, you know, on time with those. And so maybe that would be a good thing for us to do at, you know, the April 24th meeting.
Yes, and we haven't lost sight of the $152,000 that was paid out of the proceeds of the sale of the building for the phone bill for WBAI. So we have been covering the cost of the three units that they're renting, or the three rooms that they've been renting in their new building in Glendale. The national office has been covering that. So I know that it's not, we still are very much keeping tabs of that money is owed. It's just like with the affiliate network, they provided almost 3 or 4 years ago. It was prior to me being here, but it was $35,000 for, I think it was some health benefits or something like that. And that really did hit their bottom line. And so we are now in the process of paying them back that $30,000, because it was a significant hit that continued to kind of roll over into their budget every single year. So we're paying them off, and we have just a couple more months of payments to the affiliates.
Paul, you're recognized. Were you on mute?
Okay. Yes. I will just say that people want to talk about, let's not look in the past. Well, okay. I will simply note that if people ever find themselves the, FY19, consolidated financials, they took a look, take a look at July of that year and wonder how all that money got there, where it came from. Outside of that, I will say that it's good to hear the executive director say that stuff, but we still have people in parts of Pacifica, claiming all sorts of, things being owed all over the place. And I am of the opinion that the, audits are very off. There are things that apparently nobody knew about regarding the audits that they're, adding in to one particular station that's not true. I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Whatever. I wanted to say something, if I may. I really love that the network as a whole is improving, that we are addressing some critical issues, and that we have made a ruling, as I understand it, that if a station runs in the negative, as I think it's for two or three consecutive quarters, that the ED steps in and makes changes to address that. Is that correct? And I really am thrilled that we're moving forward and all the stations are improving, and that the fact that they're all paying central services right now is really a good thing. Myla, you need to unmute.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just wondering, I heard a statement that the audits were off, and I'm wondering whether what that means. It sounds to me like the kind of statement that could lead people to lose faith in our organization without really, it's just kind of a vague statement that, that I am concerned about. And I'm wondering if it's proper for anyone involved with this organization to make that kind of a statement, which kind of reflects poorly on our organization without providing some specific information with respect to that statement, which is kind of, as I said, could lead people to lose faith in our organization. Thank you. I was repeating.
I'm going to move the agenda. If we have any other questions for Stephanie regarding this? No, good. Then let us move the agenda. I think the next thing on the agenda, and I can't find my agenda right now. I seem to have closed it. If anybody has the agenda in front of them, I do want to say one other thing. I can't put Stephanie on the IO. I've tried. I'm not familiar with IO as a feed. So I'm going to ask Mr. R. Paul to please put Stephanie Wells on the IO, or I'm going to convert us to a Google group, which I do understand how to use. So Mr. R. Paul, would you please put Stephanie Wells on the feed, on the email list so that she gets all of our emails?
Well, if I'm still connected, I'll do it.
If you're not, would you let me know, and you and I will sit on the phone and you'll show me how to do it, because I don't think you really want me to take this all over to a Google group. Anybody else got the agenda?
Well, it says new business.
Okay, I guess we're going to new business.
Let me make it sure of that. Let's see.
Yeah.
After ED report, new business, it says.
Thank you, sir.
Definition of self-sustainability is what's new business.
Yeah, that's Steve's thing. Steve, do you want to talk about that?
Well, yeah. Article 1, Section 2, you know, says, station, you know, to establish and operate for educational purpose in such manner that the facilities involved shall be nearly self-sustaining as possible. But that's never been defined. And then you just said something about if we're 3 months in the rear or whatever. I don't know, but that should be defined, at least under the old bylaws, because if a station isn't as self-sustaining as possible, I would think that, they're not able to sustain all their powers and duties. So that, that maybe the foundation needs to step in those instances. And that's why it's on the agenda. But it sounds like you've been addressing it through other means.
Yeah, it's my understanding that we did pass a motion at the PNB about 6 months ago that stated that stations that are not capable of meeting their bills and running in a negative deficit for a certain number of quarters, the executive director is basically ordered to step in and correct that problem. Stephanie, do you recall that?
I do, but I remember having more conversations about this, and sorry to put you on the spot, James, when James was the chair of the NFC. And that, I, again, not to put you on the spot, James, but I remember us talking about trying to figure out a formula as to what is actual self-sustainability. Then we passed that if there were issues, and this went through the PNB, that if there were issues with any sort of, with not being self-sustained or not meeting payroll in particular, then I was to make, changes with, I had the right to be able to go in and talk with the general managers to start laying off people. And we did that at all stations at the time, except WBAI. And so we did make our way through. But since that time, we have made changes at all of the stations regarding personnel. And we are now in the process. The only station that I would say is really, truly not self-sustaining at the level that they had been in the past, WBAI, is getting itself out of that and being and doing much better. KPFK, we're taking it with a little more grace just because we did have to sell the building. They didn't, you know, there was the 150 that went over to pay the phone bill. So we are trying to support them as much as possible, but we're also working with some staffing, reassigning people there, cutting back some of the hours, but bringing people up to better wages. So we are making adjustments, but I don't remember what the actual wording was on how we determined what was considered self-sustainable or not. We were basically figuring out if they couldn't make payroll.
Mr. Sturgeon, do you want to weigh in?
Did you recognize me, or is it Sagerton you said? I couldn't hear you.
I said Sagerton because Stephanie mentioned him.
Yeah, and I didn't want to put James on the spot, but I just remember when we had those conversations. It might have been because I had just started. It was like, 2.5-3 years ago.
Yeah, I don't remember any specific result that came out of that. We did have conversations about that. We did develop a differential formula for distressed stations of central services, but I think that's gone by the wayside. So I would have to go back and review the minutes to see exactly what we're talking about here. That's all I have for now.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly, sorry to interrupt, but I think that's exactly the case that we were doing the central service formulas. And then we said that the people that were distressed would pay half the central services, but then we started running into the cycle at every payroll period. We were not making payroll. And so then we had to determine who do we pay? When do we pay them? And what percentage of their paychecks do we pay? And then that turned into a PNB thing. So.
Stephanie, we did pass on the NFC, but I think the PNB actually passed. Yeah. It was a hierarchy of things that would be paid first. It was healthcare and payroll. And, you know, there was a hierarchy going down from there, setting those priorities. Yeah, I do remember that.
That's 2022.
Was that 2022? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, payroll was first, healthcare, and then anything that was needed to sustain or to keep the station on the air, you know, tower rents and rent. Actually, fortunately, we always were able to make payroll.
It was actually healthcare that was first and then payroll. That may not be legal, but that's what we do.
Okay.
We should probably revisit that and, and get that clearly disseminated throughout the network. Susan, you wanted to be recognized.
Yeah, you bring up that this brings up the issue that we do not have a good archive of policies and resolutions that the PNB has adopted. We reinvent it every year. And one of the things that I've discussed with Julie, who is the convener for the, Julie Hewitt, who is the convener for the governance committee, is having a working group that reviews and catalogs the policies and procedures that have been adopted by the board over time. And this is really critical. I recall this because we were facing not being able to make payroll. Okay. In July of 2022. So we came up with this. I think at that time we may also have adopted something about authorizing the ED to step in if a station had a certain period of time and was in distress. I don't recall what the things were. The question of what is sustainability, I think, is a very valuable one. Another thing that I think that we on the NFC and the governance committee can do is to give thought to, is there an opportunity to give a better definition for that, either in resolution of the board or in a proposed bylaw amendment? It's something that I think the governance, Julie Hewitt and I have talked about the governance committee doing, is inviting people to recommend bylaw amendments, because there were a lot of things that were accomplished. Some people like them, some people don't, but there were a lot of things that were not accomplished. And there's some simple things in these old tired bylaws that are just don't make any sense. I also wanted to make clear, some people have talked about, oh boy, you know, we're going to sell stations. I don't think anyone's talking about selling stations unless that someone is talking about that at your station. And it's not in the NFC. It's not on the PNB. It's not with the executive director. And furthermore, the change in the bylaws do not alter in any way what procedures would be needed in order to sell a signal or sell a station, sell an asset. So there's no change in that, and I think there are no plans about that. Let me just say I would like to, and I think this is under new business, it might be appropriate. I want to bring forward my motion that the treasurers, the 2025 treasurers, be invited to serve on the National Finance Committee as resource persons in a non-voting capacity.
Do I hear a second?
Not needed.
All right, then it's not needed.
Discussion?
Yeah. Why don't you move the, why do you motivate your motion?
Be delighted to. I think it's been said here tonight by a number of us that there's a lot of institutional memory, there's a lot of expertise, and a real connection to, you know, to the local financial situation and local management. And I don't want to lose that. And this seems to me to be a way to keep those folks available to us and keep a better connection to what's happening at the local station board. So that's why I'm recommending this. And I think it's consistent with what people have said here tonight.
Can I hear somebody who would like to vote, who would like to argue against this?
Could I hear the actual wording of the motion?
Yes, I move that the 2025 treasurers continue to serve on the National Finance Committee as resource persons in a non-voting capacity.
Thank you.
I'm typing that in. Anybody against that?
Okay, my hand is up.
Okay, James, you want to speak for or against it?
I'll speak against it, but with a qualification. I'm against it because I think it legitimizes what I consider to be these illegal bylaws changes. So I don't think offering a plum to these people to say that without the recognition of their titles or their positions, they can go on working for us, you know, and we'll gladly accept their volunteerism. That's all good. But, I will abstain on this vote because I think it adds credence to the myth that we have new bylaws.
So, anybody want to argue in favor of this or should we go to a vote? I say I can set it going to vote. We've heard that James is going to, abstain. Is there anybody objecting to this?
Well, hold question. So the treasurers who are the subject of it, we don't get to vote on this?
You get to vote on it right now.
Oh. Are we voting?
Point of information.
Yes, please.
Sorry, Chair. This is confusing to me. I thought we were operating under the revised bylaws that remove treasurers as voting members of these committees. I support Susan's motion to include the vast resources that our treasurers bring to this committee as advisors. And so I support the motion, but I'm just kind of, we're kind of in this kind of transition period where things aren't really clear. And I guess you're calling the shots here and saying that the treasurer's present will in fact vote. So we're in agreement on that. I'm sorry. It's just kind of bewildering to me.
This is minutia. And as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
It's an advisory thing that we are advising that we would like to have the treasurer stay. I don't want to be in opposition to the new bylaws. I know that the treasurers are not supposed to be voting as of yesterday or today or next week or next
year. Point of order.
Yes.
You forced this. I don't believe the new bylaws go into effect until the court signs off on them.
Hey.
They already signed off, and according to our attorney, they went into effect the moment the PNB endorsed them. And I'm not a lawyer. I don't want to argue the law. I was told the Todd, our attorney, our official attorney in this case, said the minute the PNB endorsed them, they went into effect. Okay, I'm just going to have Aki call the roll, and if you don't feel like you have a right to vote, then don't vote. Oh, actually, I would just as soon say, does anybody object to this?
Well, I think everybody should vote. Everybody who's here at the meeting tonight on the committee should vote.
Fine. Aki, will you call the roll? Oh, Tom, you haven't spoken yet. Would you like to speak, please?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, if I'm not treasurer and I'm not on the LSB, I lose the access to the financial information. I'm not valuable to you. So I'm not sure. I don't have a problem with you inviting me to participate. I can say no. I'm not sure I'll be valuable if I'm not treasurer of the LSB. And so that's kind of all I got to say. I'm fine not voting at this point. Thank you.
But you are treasurer of the WPFW LSB, correct?
But that yes. Position's been abolished.
Yes, Fred, it has.
All right. I'm all this stuff.
Wait a minute. I thought the LSBs continue until the elections.
The LSBs do, and the chairs, vice chairs, and secretaries do. The treasurer position goes away, and there are two new positions that get elected.
I thought that was part of the 2026 elections.
The 2026 elections will be five officers for the LSBs, and those will be chair, vice chair, secretary, fundraising and membership coordinator, and and fundraising coordinator. Right. There but, may very, anyway.
And I understand that, but I thought also that the current LSBs continue until 2026, and why would that not include the treasurers?
Because the transition provides that the treasurers, that position no longer exists. Let me just say, this is a piece of the amended bylaws I don't like. Okay. But it was, we had the choice only of including elements that were, voted on, which the 2021 bylaws were, and, which the parties would agree to.
I'd like to say that I'm really thrilled that I will not be able to run again in that election. Mr. Woodson. I can't hear you. You're muted.
Yeah. Okay. I think the point is that we take on the new structure, but the old members still stand in place. They can take their role in the new structure. Would be one way to say how the changes are happening.
I couldn't answer that question. So we're going to go to a vote, and whether your vote is legal or not, I don't really care. We can call it an advisory vote. Aki, will you call the roll?
Sure. Christina Avalos
is gone. Not here.
And Tom Chase?
Abstain.
Okay. Lyndon Foley?
I'll advise yes.
Okay. Steve Kukara? Steve?
You're muted, Steve. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. Apo Martin?
No.
Okay. Myra Beeson?
Myra, you're muted.
I support it. Thank you. I had okay. to.
All right. Gene Sagadin?
I'm aware of that.
I'm going to
He abstained.
Okay. Dennis Williams?
No.
Dennis is no. Okay. Michael Woodson?
Yes.
Michael is yes. Fred Dodsworth?
Yes.
Okay. Go back to Steve. How'd you vote?
Steve, can you vote? We couldn't hear you.
Yes. Okay. Are you talking?
Okay, thank you.
James Sagerton voted yes.
No.
I thought Sagerton was abstained. Sagerton is no?
Okay. Sagerton, no.
Okay, got it. Okay, so we got 5 yes, 3 no, and 1 abstention.
Motion passes. Okay, is there any other new business? Is there any old business that we need to revisit? Can I hear a motion to adjourn?
Move that we adjourn.
Can I hear a second? Do we need a second to adjourn? Is there any objection?
Is there any objection
to adjourning? There are no objection. We're so adjourned. Thank you for your time.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Good night, guys. Good night.
Good night.